Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Today's guest, The Hoppers, on Daniel Britt and Friends. As a matter of fact, the interview came from their home in North Carolina, where they have a studio called The Farm, and frankly, Claude and Connie live on many, many acres. It really is a farm. We'll talk about the animals, we'll talk about home life, we'll talk about Kim and Dean Hopper's kids and how they're growing and developing into a great talent themselves. And we're going to hear music from the new Canaan project called The Ride, which has proven to be an exceptional, extraordinary album produced by Larry Goss and assisted by Ronnie Brookshire. And it's available at thehoppers.com, also available from Canaan Records. First off, I asked Dean Hopper about the home site where we were sitting that day conducting the interview.
Well, Dad was born on the spot he lives on now. He was born in 37, so he's lived here with the exception of probably 4 or 5 years where right after he got married, they moved away and we built another house over it where now is Blues Lake. Mm. And then it was Blues Creek. Mm. So Duke Power came in and bought the property. We had to vamoose, and he came back down and asked his dad if he could get the old home place. And so he bought a few acres there, and that's where he's been. This house has been built 30-plus years. My mom's family were raised just in a setting there on a little plateau right up from the Blues Creek, the original creek. How do we say that? But anyway, that's where my grandparents lived, and they built a house. Mom and Dad built a house right up the road from them. And then Duke Power came in and said they're going to have to move, and they said, "We don't want to move." And they said, "Well, think about it." So they came back, said, "You ready to move?" Said, "No, we don't want to move." Said, "Well, you move or we'll move you." Loaded up everything and moved up the road about 5 or 8 miles, something like that.
Now, the home folks around here, they know Hopper's name, common name here?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Hoppers that live in this general vicinity. My dad and a lot of his brothers. The guys that sing in the group, they're close around here. One farm, connects to another that mm-hmm. will connect to another. And then there's other neighbors that's been here. The family's family names have been around for a long, long time. The guy on one side here has about 600 or 700 acres that just kind of wrap around. I used to work with that guy's dad. We used working in corn and for the cows, and you know, he taught me a lot.
Dean Hopper, and the interview is taking place in Madison, North Carolina, at the home site of Claude and Connie Hopper, and the location of the farm studio owned and operated by the Hoppers. We'll hear more from Dean, also from Mike, Claude, and Connie throughout this show, and music from The Ride. Here's Freedom Band. I'm Daniel Britt and Friends.
Come along and join this journey with the Freedom Band. Sing the song of Zion as we march to glory land. Can't you see the home lights burning? Every day my soul is yearning. Come and join us on this journey with the Freedom Band. There's a song of love that's ringing over land and sea. Happy tones of joy descending on the Lord's redeemed. Shouting high and singing low, we've got to let the whole world know where the milk and the honey flows and the soul is free. Come along and join this journey with the Freedom Band. Sing the song of Zion as we march to glory land. Can't you see the home lights burning? Every day my soul is yearning. Come and join us on this journey with the Freedom Band.
To the land of rest. Come, my young, his easy children, listen and be blessed. Take your brother by the hand, encourage the weak to stand. I'm waiting on that golden strand.
Come and be my guest. Come along and join this journey with the Freedom Band. Sing the song of Zion as we march to glory land. Can't you see the home lights burning? Journey with the Freedom Band.
soul is yearning. Come and join us on this journey with the Freedom Band.
The Hoppers, our guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends. At the time of this taping, Kim Hopper was in Nashville recording her new solo project. So we were sitting around the table with Dean, Claude, Connie, and Mike Hopper at their home site in Madison, North Carolina, inside their studio called The Farm, appropriately titled. And of course, being a family group, I asked Dean about his and Kim's kids.
Carly's 13.
Yeah.
And she's almost 5'9". She is our firstborn, of course, but she's really special. God's really gifted her, not just to be able to sing. She has a nice voice, but she's also a pretty good actor. She's taken acting lessons, and she's into that part of the production world.
Sure.
And then we have Lexi. She's 3 now.
Yeah.
And she, if we ever thought we had a boy with the action, I mean, she's just full of energy. But
yeah,
she's so she's sharp. You know, kids today are just sharp. I don't remember kids when I was growing up being that smart, but they're just intelligent. They have the other day Mom was on the bus and she was going to work with her on something. Lex said, let's play this little game she had.
Yeah.
And Mom said, well, I can't sit in the booth that way. I don't want to turn around because the booth is, you know, one you're facing backwards,
yeah,
the other one you're facing forwards. And she just wasn't feeling well, so she said, I can't sit there. It makes me feel bad. Grandma, come on, sit over here. I mean, once she gets in her mind,
yeah. Yeah.
She has a one-track mind. Let's get that done, unless you can explain it to me otherwise, okay? So she kept on, and in a minute, Grandma said, I can't sit that way. So Lexi thought about it, sat there a minute, and she got up and went around to the other side of the table.
Uh-huh.
Only thing she wanted to do was play that game. Mom looked at me. She said, did you see her figure that out? That she was going to get me to play this game one way or the other. And Mom never asked her to go around there.
That's
if you'll
funny.
Switch with me, we'll play.
Yeah, so, right.
Anyway, kids are extraordinary today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They're just really,
right.
really smart. And she's coming along.
Have your kids with, I know they're girls, so maybe this is not applied to much if they were boys, but if being mischievous with a bunch of cows on a farm, have they ever gotten into trouble on the farm?
No, actually, they've been here. They come down and visit, but yeah. they've never really gotten involved with things on the farm.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Kim and I were on that trip to Europe with the Gaither Homecoming Gang, and they stayed down here for 3 or 4 days. And I think that's maybe the first time they've stayed that length of time without the parents being at least at home,
yeah,
and just come dropped them by.
Right.
And so I called home one day, and Carly said, Poppy's had me down in the bottom pasture picking up sticks and loading it onto the gator and cleaning up around the fences. And I said, well, good. That's what you've been needing to do a little bit of. But she's having a great time.
Yeah.
And Lexi, the little one, she loves the cows. I mean, she can spot a cow. We're riding down the road in the bus. She can spot any kind of animal. And Dad's got these cows and llamas. And he used to have some goats. But and he's got a donkey out here,
yeah.
Joe, and she loves to come and feed the donkey and
yeah.
The llama. She feeds him marshmallows and little carrots.
It's appropriately titled The Farm, the studio where we were sitting that day. It's the home site of Claude and Connie Hopper, and it really is a farm. Claude's got quite a variety of animals.
Yeah, we have a male and female llama, and we've got a brand new baby llama out there. Dad just got into his exotic thinking. He wanted a few different animals. We've had cows for years, and we've had horses here. And so the horses have been transferred over to his brother's farm, and the other donkey is over there, too. He had a Jack and a Jenny, and so the Jenny's over there at my uncle's farm, and
wow.
so is the goat. The goats are over there, too. It's really amazing. Every time I come down, he's got a new animal.
Dean Hopper. And before the show's over, we'll talk to Claude and Connie and Mike Hopper. From the Ride Project, here's the Dove. The Hoppers, my guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
The earth was corrupted, then God interrupted. He had repented of all he had made. Well, then Noah was summoned. The flood was soon coming, when all the
would be washed away.
In desperate manner, the saws and the hammers work day and night, building an ark. He pleaded with sinners, it's finished now, enter. Then God shut the door and they drowned in the dark. After the rains fell and after the flood swelled, Noah decided to look for dry land. Felt the sun glow, then he flung the dove skyward right out of his hand.
Months with no sign of that one little white dove, Noah thought God had completed his plan. He saw the rainbow, but where did the dove go? So pure was her nature,
Daniel Britt and Friends. That's a song called The Dove by The Hoppers, my guest today. We're actually sitting at The Hoppers' home site in Madison, North Carolina, on a farm, their farm, and in a studio appropriately named The Farm as well. And in my conversation with The Hoppers, I asked about some slightly changing names throughout The Hoppers' career. And then we had a little fun dreaming up some alter ego names.
It was the Hopper Brothers, and then Mom came and played the piano a couple of years later, and not long after that, it became Hopper Brothers and Connie.
And that's your family name, mm-hmm. so it does the trick. You know, it does what it's supposed to do. But when you look at the other industry, the other side of music industry, all the rock and roll stars, you sometimes wonder about those names they come up with, mm-hmm. either for the tour or the rock star. So we've got a game that we'll play. Mike okay. is here too. Mike Hopper.
Hello.
The drummer you normally see, or don't, whether or not he's being hidden. So to determine your rock star name, you have to take your first pet's name. Very first pet you ever had, and the current car that you drive, like the model of car, I guess, that you drive,
okay.
and put those together, pet's name and the car, and then you come up with your rock and roll name.
Okay.
Anything creative?
Ray Jetta.
Toby Sequoia.
Well, you take that to another level and go to your rock tour, if you were going to go on tour with that. You put the in front of it, and then put your favorite hobby or craft, and then your favorite weather element, like... Thunder, and that's what the tour's called. Okay?
Is it in that order?
Yes. So if you like knitting and you like rain, it would be the Knitting Rain Tour.
It's called the Motorcycle Spring Tour.
Ooh.
Well, then mine would be the Fly Autumn Tour.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because that's my favorite time of year.
And you know, nowadays, this is Mr. Pop Culture you're talking to. Fly is also another word for like
Thanks.
Cool, hip,
yeah.
groovy. You know,
Mac
so,
Fly.
Yeah, right. So that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Detective name, they say, is your favorite color paired with your favorite animal. So blue hippopotamus or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. That's your detective name if you're going around as
name.
Dick Tracy or, you know.
Are we going to get into CB handles too?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You know, breaker.
Breaker.
<going on.
laughs> My CB handle's the wrong number.
The blue parrot.
I was going to say red dog.
Your soap opera name is your middle name along with the hospital you were born. Oh. Mine would be Robert Houston.
Brian Wesley Long.
I don't like mine.
I know what it is.
Dean Annie Penn.
Okay, your superhero name. By the way, Mike and Dean Hopper in the studio today, and we're finding out some stuff that you won't get anywhere else.
Boy, that's the truth.
Superhero name, take the word the, add your second favorite color. Add that to your favorite drink.
The green Coke.
Coming to save the day. That would almost be mine, though.
The okay. blue tea.
And your witness protection name. This would be fun because it would be the same for both of you. Your mother's middle name and your father's middle name put together. That's your witness protection name.
Connie Daniel.
No, her middle name.
What's her middle name?
Her maiden name is Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
The middle name is that Elizabeth.
Means. Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Well, for y'all, I would go with Shelton. I think that might be more okay. of a...
So it'd be Daniel Shelton.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Danielson.
The Hoppers, my guest today on Daniel Pritt and Friends. Here's the ride.
I may leave by the grave. I may have to wait for the horn. Anywhere I go, I'm safe. Looking for the glorious morn. It may be a chariot, it may be a cloud, but I'm gonna hear that rumbling loud. He's gonna roll me over to the other side. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna fly. I'm just waiting for my ride. I won't be fumbling for my keys, no filling up my tank with gas. Swing those gates out open wide. I'm headed for the highest high when he swings by. I'm just waiting for my ride.
I've got everything packed. I won't have to wait in line. Going and I'll never look back. Passing on the planets I'll climb. It may be tomorrow, it may be today. I won't have to ask, are you going my way? I'll be ready when the Lord says step inside. Standing on his word right by this curb. I'm just waiting for my ride. Together, but
He's gonna fill him up my tank with gas. He's gonna come and I'm gonna leave.
I'm going all the way first class.
I don't know when or how or where, but I'll go sailing back through the air. Heaven will swing those gates out open wide.
We're sitting around with the Hoppers. We're thinking of their new song that's just coming out. It's called Yahweh. And the drummer's in the room, by the way. Mike Hopper's with us. Mike, how much fun was Jerusalem, right? I mean, that's just a great drum song.
Oh, it's awesome. It's one of my favorites.
So then you come in with the same person who wrote Jerusalem wrote this Yahweh song, which has some similar sounding things going on there. How'd you find the song? And as a drummer, I mean, is that... Do you call that spreading your wings and expanding your horizons? Because that's not, I don't know that you would necessarily call that the epitome of convention-style singing.
Yeah, I would say for this industry, it is definitely spreading your wings to be able to play that style this type of music.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it. And the idea with Jerusalem, we just wanted I pictured like the African safari and you know, with the tribal drums and everything that's going on and taking that to the track of Jerusalem with Yahweh. Actually, I don't know if I'll get in trouble saying this, but a lot of that idea came from a song by a band called Toto, and the song is Africa.
Really?
And if you ever heard their song, you would see some and hear some similarities in the track.
You hear the drum beats of Jerusalem. How many of us have thought, wow, that's what it sounds like in Jerusalem. Boom, ba-da, ba-da, boom, but here he's talking about Africa. It's a totally different continent, right?
Totally different. But you know what? It can apply to that as well. Yeah. And really what I think ties it when you're thinking about Jerusalem is the penny whistle,
yeah,
and the way that sets that up going, yeah, into the verses, and you know, some of the way the orchestration is arranged, some of the other instruments in the orchestra that really
Middle Eastern
puts the Middle Eastern feel to it. So it's a Middle Eastern African feel.
The young lady that wrote Jerusalem, her name is Paula Stevanovich, and she is from Lexington, Kentucky. I think originally from Atlanta. That's where her and her husband met.
That's a good Atlanta name.
Yeah, Stevanovich. Well, actually, Wayne is her husband. That's his name.
Yeah.
And so they moved to Lexington, and she's a music minister. She's a music leader in a church. And they sent Jerusalem. They actually sent that to Kim for her solo album. It was the company was Synergy Music, you know, in Nashville.
Yeah.
Niles Borup, and he sent a bunch of songs over. And we let Michael Sykes and the other producer hear that, and they just, in their mind, they couldn't see how to make that work for a soloist. So we waited and saved it for Larry Goss to take, because we knew he could do it. And the rest is history as far as Jerusalem goes. It's done its thing. It's proven itself. And then we still sing it every night, and the people stand and worship before the song is over with. But this song came in from Paula. She just sent it directly. She does a lot of choral groups. And so she had recorded this on one of her, she calls it her demo project. But I thought, wow, the money she spent just to make this demo, to get this choir in here and this orchestra and this band, to give us the idea, the feel that she envisioned in the song. And so we just took that. And, of course, Larry, he enhanced that vision and put his vision to it, and then the harmonies. And, it's basically the life of Christ from when he was born till the crucifixion, till he's raised. It puts you in the mind of the song Amen that Lionel Harris did years ago.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing, but only just a different flavor. You wonder, can we send the song like that out? Will that work? I wish I had the quote here from the DJ in Alabama. He sent an email to our radio promotion. He says, I don't know where this song came from. I don't know who wrote this song. I don't even know what genre of music we would consider this song being in. But I'd like to say it's one of the best songs I've ever heard. The harmony's great. Yeah. The mix is fantastic on it. I know it's hard for me to sit here and say that, but this person said it and sent it to a radio program. And so my hat is off to the writer. My hat is off to Larry Goss. My hat is off to Ronnie Brookshire, who mixed the thing. And you know, hopefully we do our job in there somewhere along the way. I appreciate the radio community allowing to stretch out of the box just a little bit, stretch the border just a little bit. Because no matter what, I mean, if you like the rhythm stuff, and the kids love that kind of rhythm. It's a little different. You know, not everything is a cloud of dust and three chords and a cloud of dust, as they say. It's got a little something different about it. And so I really appreciate the radio community allowing us to share what God has given a unique individual in writing.
Sure.
And, you know, just give us just a 4 minutes of your time to share this song with you.
It's Yahweh. It's from the Hoppers Canaan project called The Ride.
The Ride.
Coming in a manger, our Lord is coming.
Hoppers, Yahweh. It's on Daniel, Britt, and Friends, and today we're bringing you a special interview that took place at the Hoppers Farm in Madison, North Carolina. Right now, around our microphones, brothers Dean and Mike Hopper.
Taking shelter with parents is not uncommon for young people in their 20s, especially when the job market's poor. But now the slumping economy and the credit crunch, they're both forcing some children to do so later in life, even in middle age, move back in with their parents. Financial planners report receiving many calls from parents seeking advice about taking in their grown children following divorces or layoffs. A financial planner said she's never seen older children, even those in their 50s, depending so much on their parents as they have in the last 6 months. And by the way, we're broadcasting today from the Hopper's place. And so I know it's a family thing. I'm not making a slam against you. I understand family. I grew up where family was everywhere, all down the street. But at the same time, do you ever get asked the question, well, do you, I mean, because you travel together, do you live with Claude and Connie still?
He does.
Mike does?
I'd like to. Yeah. I'd like to move back in.
No, I'll tell you, when we moved out, everything changed. You got, the satellite dish. You got the new.
No, that was when you moved out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you enjoyed the satellite. I had the old, the antenna on top of the roof up there.
Oh.
Like three channels.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Things change. When the kids move out, they start spending money. Of course, their grocery consumption drastically went down when
you
moved
left.
Out. I mean, 3 or 4 gallons of milk a week and,
Oh, especially with boys.
Yeah. I mean, iced tea and the cooking and the cereal consumption and the Pop-Tarts and all the cheese toast, all that that consumption went down.
What would they do? I mean, thinking, because you've known your parents all your life. So what would you do if this economy, for whatever reason, it said, look, Dean and Kim and then Mike, we've got to move back in with Claude and Connie. How would they take that?
I'll take the apartment. They've got an apartment in the basement, so I'm claiming that first.
Do you think they've moved on so far that they would be kind of like shocked? They'd be like, they would want to say no, but they wouldn't know how to.
I don't think they would say no. I think they would do whatever it took. For the family, I think they might dread it because Dad's got his nice little relaxing spot on the back porch now, and so if Lexi was there all the time, I don't know how that would sit with him.
Well, Dad is restoring his old home place, which is just right up from the studio here. You saw it when you drove in. And so he might would just move in there if we moved in.
I make a funny every night to when Dad says that I'm restoring my own place, and it's a benchmark for the Hopper Heritage Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I said, he's actually preparing that for himself because Mom's pushing him out of the house.
Dean and Mike Hopper, Claude and Connie will join us around the microphones before it's all said and done. But right now, it's my only option from the ride on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
What is that standing before me today? Another big mountain that won't move away. I could be discouraged, but I won't this time. My only option is climb.
When my only option is strength in the Lord, He'll give me the power like He has before.
That will move away. There's another bright, wonderful, sunshiny day. I face a battle that's different this time. My only option is climb.
When my strength in the Lord, He'll give me the power.
Hoppers are my guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends, and I'm sitting at their home site in Madison, North Carolina, on a farm. Claude and Connie live here, and they have a studio named The Farm, and that's where we're sitting now with Claude and Dean.
There's something that's going on. As we drove in, we noticed, and we've heard about this restoration of the old home place, old birthplace, I think, and it's for the Hoppers Heritage Foundation. Is that, did I get that right?
Yeah. Yes.
And Claude can talk about this with very great expertise.
You know, I'm sentimental, and where I live is exactly where this old log house was once upon a time. And I moved it out, then I brought it back across the road when they paved the road here, and we'll store artifacts and some history in there. This is world headquarters for the Hopper Heritage Foundation. You come down, you can see where all the my brothers and I was born. We was born in one room.
Wow.
And not at the same time, but you'll see the kitchen where we the old log kitchen where we all ate, and then have upstairs where all the boys was housed and the girls. And actually, the Hopper Heritage Foundation was just something I had thought in my mind to continue the heritage of the Hoppers. And my 50 years of traveling in gospel music, I have seen a lot of groups make mistakes. Not that I haven't made a lot, but I went to the University of Hard Knocks. And I saw a great need to help people understand gospel music. Knowing how to sing, their desire to sing. A friend of mine in Colorado Springs who's on our board, he heard me state this, and he said, you know, I've helped run two foundations for 40 years, and I'd be happy to volunteer to help you. So we incorporated a 501c3, and the purpose of it is to help young people pursue their career in gospel music, not necessarily gospel music, Christian studies, business, and economics, because we all need it in this. This is not only a ministry, but it's a business.
Sure.
And you've got to lay the right foundation. So fortunately, we're blessed. We got with the university, Oakland City University, who will match our funds dollar for dollar.
Wow.
And at the present time, we have several students attended the university, some by internet. Mm-hmm. And my dad always had a saying, charity begins at home. So I thought, well, we need to sponsor a kid here in our local community college. So we called the principal, the guidance counselor, and told them to choose a kid who did not have a scholarship. So they chose one, and we graduated that student last year.
Wow.
And then the way we raise funds is through Connie's written several books. A portion of that goes to the foundation. She and I have written a book together, and that goes to the proceeds of that goes to the foundation. Then a percentage of the original Hopper Brothers and Connie's recordings, our two-fifths goes to the foundation. And then we have our annual singing in Eden. The proceeds from that singing goes to our foundation. And then we have a golf tournament we have every year. We have two Million Dollar Hole. Wow. One is sponsored by Merrill Lynch. The other is sponsored by our CPA, Barry Dotson. If someone makes that hole, $1 million goes to the foundation, and $1 million goes to the winner. Plus, they get two full business class tickets around the world, and also 30 dozen Nike balls.
Has anybody made the hole yet?
No, my Connie's cousin shot for it last year.
Wow.
And this is our second one.
So how's your golf game, Daniel? You're going to sign up?
No, but I might have beginner's luck.
Right. Beginner's luck. That's all it takes. Yeah. It's one time.
That's right. But Connie's cousin shot for the $1 million hole-in-one this past year. And so we're really excited. This one is really looking good. Our goals was to have 10 sponsors per hole. And we did quite well last year raising those funds. And then, of course, we have a private donation, but we are a public foundation. You know, we're not like Bill Gates, you know, have our own foundation. We just, you know, life is what you give away, not necessarily your money. But words of encouragement and helping people.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
And then we also send a student to the Stamps Baxter School of Music, which has been going on since day one.
Yeah.
And in Nashville. And that's to help further their education, get them to sing. My voice teacher told me years ago, Leroy Abernathy, he was one of the greatest. He didn't help me with my voice very much. But he said, you know, singing is 90% attitude and 10% talent.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I could have a good attitude.
That's true.
And so I'm use my other 10% talent. Mm. But we're really excited about the foundation. And this is a private project of my own. You know, we pay for the restoration of this log cabin. It's not coming out of the foundation, so to speak, but we just want to reconstruct a landmark. And it's kind of like you've heard the saying, if you ever see a turtle sitting on a fence post, he didn't get there by himself.
That's right.
So you're talking to an individual, I didn't get here by myself. And after 50 years, we're still going.
That's Claude Hopper. And the Hoppers are my guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. Here's a medley of Try a Little Kindness and Less of Me.
If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed. If you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, just shine your light for. The narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. Don't walk around this town down and out. Lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day is gonna help some. Long life's away. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, you will overlook the blindness of a narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded. Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me, let me praise a little more. Let me be when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery, think a little more of others and a little less of me. You've got to try a little. Yes, Lord, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, you'll overlook the blindness of a narrow-minded people to my brother who is weaker, think a little more of others and a little less of me.
Claude taking the lead on that song with the Hoppers, my guest today on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
And we've got Claude and we've got Dean both in the room together. So like father, like son.
That's right.
I want to ask this question about tipping, because I think we all go through this. When you go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress does good service and it's time to write the bill and you got to put the tip down, whether you leave a dollar or, you know, or two or whatever, or if you write it on your credit card receipt. How do you come up with the amount that you tip? How do you determine if you've had good service? The amount of a tip often reflects factors other than the tipper's generosity or the server's ability. And I want to know if you ever have this when you go to pay the bill. Servers who introduce themselves by their name get about 3% greater tip. Does that ever, I mean, what things stick out in your mind when you're receiving service at a restaurant that kind of...
Really, it's a challenge. You know, a lot of the places we go, it's real late. Most of the time, it's a Waffle House.
Yeah.
It's a shift change, and you get some is very arrogant. Some are, you know, don't want to be there. And that's a real challenge, just to say, how you doing? I've even had waitresses, I said, will you pray with us?
Yeah.
And it seemed like to me they are shocked.
Yeah, well.
But even the one, say the worst waitresses, you still want to be good to them.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the super waitresses, sometimes you want to be better.
Yeah.
But I like to see my family, me personally, show their appreciation, because it's a real testimony. If we had taken the same attitude that maybe our server had taken, they wouldn't have got nothing.
Sure,
but,
sure.
You know, it's kind of like doing good to those who are evil. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah, right. It's a good point.
Sometimes, you know, if it's the kids, I see them interacting with the kids, and you know, Lexi will open up and, you know, I want eggs and bacon and toast or something. Mm-hmm. It that makes a difference to me. I'll just give you a little short story.
Yeah.
We were at on the Gaither tour. And it was back when Rex Neyland was still alive, so that was before 2000. And we'd come to Knoxville. It was going to be in Thompson Bowling Arena that night. Okay, Bill asked if I wanted to fly with Guy Penrod down to the date, so I flew down with him on the plane the night before, and got in the motel. So I went down to breakfast the next day, and of course by that time all the buses were there, and so I went down to for breakfast, and around the table was. Of course, Rex, I was sitting next to him, and Mark Lowry and Gaither and Penrod and Glory was sitting over there. And so they started this young lady that had her who was waiting on the tables. And as time went on, she started talking about having to put her son through college and talking about kids moving back home. This child was still at home, and she had a younger one there at home. And just her attitude, I don't want no help. I don't want no assistance from the government. I don't need any of that. She just went on and on about how that she was working hard to make sure her kids, they all come to my house every Sunday. I fix Sunday lunch after church. And boy, I'm telling you what, the wheel started spinning around that table. And before you know it, she had about a $200 tip laying there in the center of that table.
Wow.
And I don't think she was doing that for that reason. It was, they were asking the questions, and one thing led to another, and just her... selfless serving of, you know, her job, plus what she was trying to do, working two jobs, trying to accomplish this for her family, make sure her kids got a good education, but she didn't want no handouts. Okay?
Wow.
And before you knew it, buddy, she had a good tip on that. So I think the attitude plays tremendously in receiving gratuity.
But attitude is key. The survey says... It soars. The percentage soars if they do nothing but smile. Mm-hmm. If they smile, they get so much more versus those who don't.
And as we're talking about restaurants, we're talking about food. Connie Hopper sat down at the microphone, and of course, we asked her about some good home cooking here on the farm.
Well, I just cook simple food, and some people, I guess, would call it comfort food. I don't know, but I do have a dish that's real easy, and you've probably done this yourself, but I just take chicken breast And I, of course, I usually get the ones that are, still have the bone because a lot of the flavor comes out of that. And I'll put them in a dish and I'll put salt on them, salt them real good. And then I sprinkle a little flour on them and I put butter on them. And then I sprinkle Pepperidge Farm stuffing over it.
Wow.
Put water in it and just cook it on a really low heat for, I don't know, 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. And when you cut it with your fork, it just comes all to pieces. And then it's got the flavor of the, it's got the thickening up of the little flour in the, makes a little gravy in there. And you just got a, almost a meal. I'm getting, I just thought
that's, wrap this up here. We got to get somewhere.
That was something really simple and it and it's easy to do. And it's always, I served it, I think, when Greater Vision was here once, and Gerald said, what did you do to this chicken, you know? And so if people like it, that makes you feel good.
Let me say this, too. They've had a lot of people in their homes. I mean, the Goodmans were here back in their heyday.
In the 70s.
Mom cooked every chicken on the farm we had. the Kingsmen have been here.
Yeah.
J.D. Sumner. Cathedrals came by a lot.
Yeah.
They were here because they sang at Reynolds on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving those years.
Yeah.
But they came by probably the most. And then Greater Vision's been a couple of times. Jeff and Sherry Easter's been here. But the Gaithers have been here a couple of times. And the last time, Jake Hess and his wife and
Rex Nealon and Judy, yes.
She had just about the whole gang
Some of the
here.
Martins.
Well,
because we were in Greensboro that night. And so she did the fried chicken. She did the green beans, and she cooks them the way I like them. That is, you cook them till they kind of shrivel up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say you cook all the vitamins out of them.
Yeah.
I say take your vitamins, and cook the green beans.
That's right. Yeah.
Mark Lyre, all the guys come in here, and they thought, you know, I'm going to cook a pig too. So Dennis, our guy at Books, he brought a grill down. They cook a big pig out there.
Yeah.
And she makes her homemade banana pudding, chocolate pie, coconut cake, coconut pie. It makes all that stuff. It's sitting there.
Well,
you know, they never touched the pig.
Yeah.
They ate all the stuff that she cooked. Okay. And Mark had eaten so much, he said, have you got a bed I can lay down on? So he went and laid down and went to sleep in the back of the house there. I thought, you know, they're going to be going here in a few minutes. But it was a winner, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you try to snazz it up too much, you lose what you really like. Keep it simple.
Well, I don't know how to snazz, so I just sometimes I'll try a little something. But basically, I don't have all that time, so I just cook what I know how to cook.
The Hoppers are my special guest on Daniel Britt and Friends.
There's wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad to say that when sins freed us, can't be bought by wealth or fame. It only comes through Jesus' name. There's victory in each trying hour through faith in His mighty power.
Let the redeemed,
let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed,
let the redeemed of the Lord say so. From the chains of bondage into the land of promise, fed us with a heavenly manna, filled us all with joy and gladness. Been through the river and I've been baptized, felt the fire touch me and I'm satisfied.
Redeemed.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed,
let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Been through the river and I've been baptized, felt the fire touch me and I'm satisfied. If you really know that He's washed you white as snow, if you know what it's really like to have a song in your darkest night, then lift up your voice in one accord and let the praise ring unto the Lord.
Let the redeemed,
let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Let the redeemed,
let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He brought me from the chains of bondage into the land of promise, fed us with the heavenly manna. So with joy and gladness, been through the river and I've been baptized. Felt the fire touch me, I'm satisfied.
Redeemed,
let the redeemed say so.
Redeemed,
let the redeemed say so.
Redeemed,
let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He brought me from the chains of bondage into the land of promise.
Dance
with the heavenly manna.
Filled
us all with joy and gladness, been through the river and I've been baptized. Felt the fire.
Hoppers have been my special guest today on Daniel Britt and Friends. And to note, Kim Hopper, noticeably absent from this interview because she was in Nashville recording her new solo project.
Guys, thanks for opening up your home and inviting us in. And you can find out more at thehoppers.com, right?
Yes.
See you next time on Daniel Britt and Friends.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.